It's time for Mount Vernon Wildcat Basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Wildcats Basketball is brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, DiMaggio's Pizza, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, and Team Milan Real Estate.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck, sitting here with Coach Joe Newcomb in the lobby of United Fidelity Bank in downtown Mount Vernon. You're listening to 106.7 FM WMVI, MountVernonRadio.com. Coach Newcomb, thanks for the time as always, and we had a busy week last week. I haven't seen you in a while on these coaches' shows, so we've got a bunch of games to talk about. We'll be here for a long, long time.
Yeah, no, good to be here. That's been a while, yeah. So excited to talk a little basketball.
Yeah, it is. We're just going to cover some really quick games earlier. There were some things that I noticed that were really interesting. Going all the way back to January the 4th, we haven't had a show since then. We played at Pike Central. This isn't any big. You don't need to search for your stats, but we had four people in double figures and two with nine. I mean, that's pretty good balanced scoring all the way up and down.
Yeah, that was a long time ago. but yeah, we played really well that day up at Pike Central early tip. Thought we really got after them to start and shot the basketball really well that day as well.
Yeah, and the defense is good, but I just like the balanced scoring. We've talked about it before, how difficult it is to guard a team when everybody can put the ball in the basket, and that was one of those where you did kind of stretch it out, and we had several others like that as well. We got snowed out a little bit, went to Forest Park on Monday the 13th. It was the 13th for Mount Vernon. We just didn't have a very good game that day.
No, we didn't play very well. I thought we really struggled the third quarter, really the middle of the second quarter, the third quarter. There's about an 8-minute stretch where we just did not play very well, mm-hmm. And it went from being a 1 or 2 point game to about 12-14, and that was really the difference.
Yeah, it didn't take it long to get away, and that's we've talked about we put together some games where we've got 25 minutes of really good ball, 30 minutes of really good ball. As close as the competition is at this level, you're going to have to be 30 minutes or better of really good ball to win out.
Yeah, I mean, there's no nights off, especially in our league, we can talk about some of the stuff upcoming here in a little while, but when you're playing the Forest Parks and the South Ridges and the teams that are the perennial at the top every year in and year out, you got to be at your best for 32 minutes, and when you have a 6 to 8 minute stretch, that'll get you, and it obviously it did against Forest Park.
And it almost seems like this team is it's infectious. Once somebody has trouble, somebody else will have trouble, and it's like the wheels fall off of everybody.
Well, I think the biggest thing that, and I'm sure this will come up talking about this past week, but the biggest key to our success is just containing penetration on a consistent basis. When it starts with our guards, and when our guards are really good defensively and can keep people in front of them with ball pressure, then we're pretty good defensively. But when we allow dribble blowbys, we don't have rim protection. We don't have big bodies in the paint to really help things, so we've got to do a better job of taking ownership of guarding our yard and keeping people in front of us and out of rotations and tough matchups, because when we get switched in certain situations and have 5'9", 5'10", on 6'6", as much as you can talk about front in the post and having bodies on the backside and the things that we talk about, sometimes those are just really poor matchups. So when we're able to guard the basketball and keep people in front of us, then we're pretty good defensively. And I'm sure we'll talk more about that here later on.
Yeah, when you do get those matchups that favor the offensive player on the other team, the help has to be there on time. In time and on time, because if it's a tiny bit late, then it's a 3-point play because it's a foul that you've given up in addition to a basket.
Sure, and I thought like defensively, talking about Southridge before we get into the Carmine week, we went boxing one on the Whitehead kid who is probably the best player in the league in terms of what he does for his team, averaging 22, 23 a game. And I thought we were outstanding on him.
I thought Hostetter,
yeah, we went boxing one and threw different bodies. Bryce didn't play that night with his injury. So we're shorthanded in the backcourt. But I thought Nash was outstanding on him and played probably the most on him. But we had Boozy and Meyer Robb both played on him as well. But for a kid that's averaging 22, 23 and held him to 15 with one of those being a half-court shot, I thought we were really good on him. And really the difference in the game that night was our inability to finish possessions with rebounds. I thought they just killed us on the glass. And it was just a bloodbath of a game, just a real physical, hard-fought battle, which it always is with Southridge, you know. And you're up one going into the fourth quarter, and a kid that you're kind of playing off of based on stats, and the Thacker kid who coming into the game shooting 17% from three, ends up hitting two or three that night and hits one to start the fourth quarter. And it was a big shot. You know, I thought that was a big play to kind of start the fourth quarter in terms of what we were doing game plan wise with our box, and a testament to him because years past, he's been a really good player for him and has just really struggled to shoot the ball this year, but made a couple big ones for them. And like I said, we just couldn't clean up the glass consistently enough.
Yeah, that game, I thought going into the half, Nash made an acrobatic shot. It was left-handed, off the glass, spun in. And it's a shame we don't give style points because he'd had a lot of them.
Well,
so we're going to go into half up two.
Up one.
Well, oh, yeah, we would have been up one.
Yep.
And then Tate, when Whitehead crossed the 10-second line, he didn't hurry and throw up a shot. He stopped and planted his feet at the edge of the circle and shot a 40-footer, but he shot it. It was a literal shot, and he drilled it. And I thought we did a
really good job that second quarter, too. It took about 90 seconds off for the last shot. Nash drove. It was about 5 seconds left, and then you watch it back, and we should have probably been able to turn him one more time in terms of our ball pressure, but at the same time, you tip your cap to Tate for making a big-time shot going into the half.
And you certainly don't want to foul him 50 feet from the basket right before the buzzer. And I mean, that would be a huge mistake. So you did – I mean, everybody played it the way they thought they could have, and he just hit a miracle of a shot, and I just thought that was a big momentum for them
going into that, but I thought we responded well in the third quarter.
You did.
We had the lead going back into the fourth, like we said, and they made more plays on the glass is what it really boiled down to. I think they had 15 or 16 offensive rebounds, and you can't give up that many to really, really good teams like Southridge and expect to be successful.
Yeah, I've got Southridge way ahead in rebounds to us on that game, but I also wonder, is it possible, I mean, without Bryce, were we getting a little bit leg weary in the fourth? I mean, that's one player. You've got a narrow rotation anyway. That you do a great job keeping fresh legs in there, but that's a good set of legs that weren't in there.
I mean, Bryce is a huge contributor to what we do and who we are. You know, I think he probably consistently has been our best defender out on the perimeter and gets the call for everybody's best opponent perimeter-wise. And then he's also been a huge offensive threat for us. You know, he's shot the basketball really well, has made some big-time threes throughout the year. And not having him is what it is. You know, everybody deals with injuries. It's part of it. And as a group, I thought collectively we really – stepped up that night, but like I said, when you're missing one of your leaders on both ends of the floor, you got to find ways to get the job done, and unfortunately we didn't that night.
Yeah, you know, it's been really fun watching him develop from primarily a defensive player to, oh my gosh, he's got a great outside shot, and his mid-range shot's always been good, but now all of a sudden his three-pointer was really coming through, then he gets the injury and maybe take a step back, but he'll be
maybe
ready.
But it's just one of those things that he's put so much time into it that as he continues to get healthy, I mean, he's been in the gym all, I think 3 days last week he was in the gym in the mornings getting shots up as his hand is healed, and that's just who he is. He's going to continue to put in time until it's back to where he was before the injury, and I have all the confidence in the world that he'll be ready to go when it matters here down the stretch.
Absolutely. Effort's never been a question when he's concerned.
No.
We probably ought to take a break real quick. We'll send it back to the studio. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
The Posey County Co-op has proudly been supporting the communities we live in since 1927. With locations in Mount Vernon, Poseyville, Griffin, St. Wendell, Hopstott, and Evansville, the Posey County Co-op is your number one spot for Askro and DeKalb seeds and Purina feed products. The Posey County Co-op also has you covered with their new Posey County Workwear in Mount Vernon. The Posey County Co-op, your number one agricultural resource since 1927.
Hello, sports fans. I'm Mark Isaac, United Fidelity Bank Executive Vice President. At United Fidelity Bank, our in-person friendly service provides peace of mind and worry-free banking. We offer personal and business checking and savings accounts with no hoops and no hassles, ideal certificate of deposit rates, and our easy-to-use online banking platform allows you to bank anytime, anywhere. Our free mobile app provides you access to the accounts on the go, and you can skip the trip to the bank with mobile deposit. Plus, we are proud to offer you access to over 93,000 surcharge-free ATM locations nationwide. Now, that's a reason to come see the difference at United Fidelity Bank.
Buying a used vehicle doesn't have to be difficult. And when you buy from Auto Car Trader in Mount Vernon, it's not. At Auto Car Trader, you can expect fair prices, superior service, and a satisfying experience. Stop by this week and check out our vehicle of the week, a 2021 Cadillac XT5. It's a one-owner car with a 3.6-liter V6, heated and cooled seats, a large sunroof, and just 73,000 miles. The ACT pre-owned price is $24,990. Financing available for all credit situations. Visit Auto Car Trader today at 312 College Avenue in Mount Vernon and online at actpreowned.com.
This is Justin Schmidt, Regional Manager for Crane Credit Union in Posey County. I want to remind you that Crane Credit Union is committed to serving Posey County. With three locations, familiar faces, and local decisions, we are able to offer cutting-edge products and services that you want, along with hometown feel that you deserve. When you become a member at Crane Credit Union, you're helping to support this community and the schools and organizations that matter to you. Visit us in person at one of our local branches in Poseyville, Mount Vernon, or St. Wendell, or online at cranecu.org to find out how easy it is to join. Crane Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA, an equal housing lender.
This week at Bud's Hardware, get your propane tanks refilled. A 20-pound propane tank can be filled for $14.99. 30 pounds for $22.50, and 100-pound propane tanks for $75. Bud's Hardware is open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. until 5 p.m., and Saturday from 8 until 5. Serving Mount Vernon since 1874. Bud's Hardware, your full-service hardware store in Mount Vernon.
Expressway Chevrolet GMC is family-owned and located on the corner of Highway 62 and 69 in Mount Vernon, Indiana. The dealership was built on the principle that every vehicle buying experience should be easy but fun for the whole family. Our award-winning service department has 26 bays, 11 technicians, with 5 of them world-class. Sales is open Monday through Saturday from 9 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. Inventory is arriving daily, so remember to shop us before you shop anywhere else and visit us 24/7 at expresswaychevrolet.com, Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck here with Coach Joe Newcomb. We're on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. Well, we hurried through the month of January, or the first half of the month of January. Now we're going to talk about last week, possibly one of the funnest weeks of the year. You got four games in 6 days over in Carmi, and it's the schools are all fairly well, fairly competitive with each other. You know, on a given night, one night, a team will win by a couple of points, and then another team that on paper shouldn't be that close to them beats them by 15. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of fun. The first night out wasn't too awfully fun. I mean, we played a very, very good team, Harrisburg, which ended up the week undefeated. Mm-hmm. They had probably, I would say, the best player in the tournament that I saw.
Yeah, the Ellis kid's the real deal. He'd be one of the better guards in our conference. Senior kid who I thought the first half we did an okay job on him.
Yeah.
Other than late in the second quarter, and then got into some foul trouble, but I didn't think we executed our game plan with him. You talk about a scout and 75 to 80% of his shots on the left side of the floor, and he really set you up to come back to his left hand. And we let him get to the rim to his left all night. And that was disappointing in terms of what we were trying to do. because when you keep him to his right hand, he's more of a jump shooter. And as you watch throughout the week, if you're able to do that, he's not nearly as effective. But he's a really good player. He's really quick. He's probably the best defender that we've gone against to this point, too. Just flat ball hawk on the ball. Mm-hmm. Lots of pick sixes in terms of going and getting a steal and a layup throughout the week this past week. And he does a really good job for them as far as kind of running the offense and getting them going. And then the young kid, Caden Young, I thought he was a really nice player as well. 6'4", 6'5", wing kid who could shoot it and put it on the floor. And they had some nice role players around him, too.
Owen Wren really hurt us. He did late in the game. He got some key baskets.
He hit a big three. We had cut it to three.
Yeah, he hit a couple threes. He took a couple threes, and I'm thinking, that's great. We just soon he shoot him out there, and then he hits him.
Yeah, he hit one late, about the 3.5-minute mark to make it six again. I think we had just cut it to three. He cut it, made it six or seven again. So I just didn't think we played very well the second half that night. I thought the first half we were okay. You hold them to 23, but then you come out and give up 37 or 38 the second half. And we can't be successful giving up 35 and 40 points and a half. It's just the bottom line. So we were just, again, it goes back to being consistent. I thought we were decent the first half and then very inconsistent the second half and just didn't guard very well.
Yeah, that probably summed it up pretty well there, Coach. It really did. I had the Ellis kid for 6-for-8 from the floor and 6-for-9 from the free throw line. But I just thought he was he didn't force anything. He didn't take any shots he shouldn't. He was very judicious. And when you shoot the quality shots he shot, you're going to hit 6-for-8.
Yeah, you're right. And coaches were talking just on Saturday. A thing I appreciate about him is he never says a word. He just goes out there, kicks your rear end, shakes your hand, and then goes home. And that's something that sometimes is lost in today's world. But really, I just appreciated watching him. I thought he was a really good basketball player and brought a lot to the table, both ends of the floor. And they have a really good team. They'll be a tough out over there in terms of their regional when they get going here in a few weeks.
Yeah, there will. You guys got three fouls on him, and I was thinking, boy, that'd be really nice to get another one and limit him a little bit. But he stayed there at three and finished the game strong. And really, you ended up losing by 11, but you don't play to lose by three or four. You play to win the game. And when you do that at the end, sometimes the score is going to spread out if they hit their free throws. If they don't hit them, that's when you can score the basket. So
yeah,
it's okay.
I just boiled down to us just not guarding very well the second half.
Yeah. Then we would move forward. The next day was the Fairfield game. Fabulous, fabulous game. Here was another game where we played nine players, and we had nine players score. And I just want to say, good thing, Reese Harshbarger and Logan Clowers, they're basically JV players. But Harshbarger in particular, when he comes off the bench, he's not standing there like a JV player. He's fully into the rotation. He's doing what he's doing. If the shot presents itself, he'll take it. He's not shy. Logan Clowers, he neutralized Justice Dagg. Justice Dagg is going to make some really good players look foolish. He was on the all-tournament team. And Logan Clowers must not have read the memo because he just went out, got in his shorts, and stayed with him all day. And
Logan flipped the game. You know, I thought we really were struggling at containing penetration with Dagg and Logan, who probably hasn't played a whole lot of like meaningful minutes to this point. Completely flipped the game upside down and really, in my mind, won the game for us with his defensive effort that night. Was outstanding. I remember early in the third quarter, got a steal and a layup that I thought really jump-started us the second half and allowed us to get on a run. He was outstanding, and that's a testament to him in terms of being ready. You never know when your number is going to be called in a situation that we need you, and that goes to show his mental preparation, his ability to prepare every single day, and I thought he was outstanding that night. In terms of allowing us to get stops and then get going. And we did some offense defense with him and Jack down the stretch. And like I said, if it wasn't for Logan, I don't know if we get out of there with the win that night, because he really, I thought, flipped the game.
He got in inside of Dagg's head. And, I mean, I have the utmost respect for that kid because he's just really good. But Logan was all over him. And then the last play of regulation, I thought – I thought the Robertson kid made the best play of the night. We had basically had Dagg stopped at the half court line and darn near turned him over. He threw it to the right 3-point line. They threw it down to Robertson. I'm thinking he's just going to turn, lay it in. They lose by one. He didn't even look at the basket. He turned, threw it to the best shooter on the floor, toed up on the 3-point line.
Well, I think that pretty well sums up where we were to that point. I think we had a foul to give. We talked about that, but in. Off the ball screen, Dagg kind of loses control of the basketball, kind of goes rolling around. Mm-hmm. So you don't really have a chance to foul. You get kind of in a scramble situation because of that. Mm-hmm. Like you said, Robertson picks it up and kicks it. We maybe overhelped to an extent, but then he hits the Miller kid hits a three at the buzzer. And up to that point, like we'd lost to North Posey on a buzzer beater. Heritage Hills hit basically a buzzer beater, sent it to overtime. Now it's the third time basically you've gotten hit with a buzzer beater. And I thought it spoke loudly in terms of the response from our kids of finding a way to grind one out in overtime after having that happen. You know, mm-hmm. and in addition, Meyer Robb's sitting out because he had hurt his hand and his hip that late in the fourth, so he didn't play the last 4 minutes of the fourth or the overtime, and he's got 20 for us that night. To be able to just draw the line in the sand and have some toughness and stick together through that and find a way to win was, I think, really, really important for our psyche. You know, I think when you've lost like that a couple of times, you start questioning those late game situations, and then you have it happen again. It's like, son of a gun. Mm-hmm. But I thought the kids did a really good job of responding the right way to start overtime. We get a stop. Schickel makes two free throws. We end up giving up two free throws to Dagg then the next trip. But then we were patient in terms of being able to – we took maybe one bad shot the overtime but got enough stops, and then we take a minute off the clock and run kind of a counter to what we'd run a couple times already that game, and Nash hit a tough pull-up shot to win it with just a couple seconds left.
That was great coaching.
Yeah, when it goes in, it makes you feel good, doesn't it?
You know, I did tell him, I said, you know, I wouldn't have bet on that shot. I mean, he's got great form, but I said, you had two guys on you. They were right in front, but the way he didn't even see him. He just looked right at the basket. He was so focused, so concentrated.
With the way the ball screen was set up, we were able to get a little separation to start with just because we'd been using that multiple times throughout down the stretch, and I thought he got just enough separation from his defender to kind of pull up, and testament to him to making a tough shot. But it was a huge shot for us, and I think just a huge moment maybe in our where we were at in the season in terms of finding a way to win that one.
Absolutely. And that game, here again, we had Meyer Robb with 19 points, and he was 8 minutes short on the game because he'd been going out of the injury. Two 11-pointers with Boozy and Hostetter, and Brady Schickel was 9-9.
And I'd be amiss not to, through this part and really the next two games too, I'd be amiss not to talk about Schickel. You know, you go back to the Southridge game where his nose gets – hit and basically shattered, and I mean the amount of blood he had that night was unbelievable, just flowing down his face the entire time and never wanted out, and battled his rear end through that. He's played in a mask the last week and probably playing some of the best basketball of his career. You know, I think he's been just a tough, hard nose. We already knew that, but for him to be able to go through what he's gone through and now play really good basketball through that is a testament to him. And you know, he's a kid that has always been a good defender for us and a good rebounder, but I think he's really stepped up on the offensive end for us in terms of his ability to do some things on the block and draw some fouls, but then also finish and kick once he gets it in there. And that's something that we've really been missing is a post presence and some post touches, and it's been nice for us.
He's a difficult matchup because he's too big and strong for the little quick guys on the other team, and he's too quick for the big strong guys on the other team. So if he gets in the right position.
He's becoming more and more comfortable, you know, and I think when we get the basketball down there to him, he's a willing passer. He's got good ability to make some moves. We just got to keep getting him comfortable facing up and making plays once he catches it 5 to 10 feet from the basket. And as he does that, it'll only continue to help us.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. We probably ought to take another break here. Ran a little long this segment. That's okay. We got a couple games to finish up, and we'll talk about this coming week. We've got two more coming up Wednesday and Friday. So we'll send it back to David's studio. You're listening to 106.7 WMVI.
How do you like your pizza? For zesty authentic Italian, there's only one, DiMaggio's. Can't wait? All mine orders are available at DiMaggio's.com. Also savory pastas, calzones, wings, Italian sandwiches, salads, and cannoli. DiMaggio's Italian Pizza, voted the best pizza in the tri-state. Open Tuesday through Saturday at 1244 Main Street in Mount Vernon. Call 838-9850 for DiMaggio's.
For over 40 years, the Mount Vernon Club has provided support necessary for the success of Mount Vernon student-athletes. Since 1971, over $250,000 has been donated to athletic programs, assisting in weight room equipment, uniforms, and granting college scholarships. The M Club sells individual bricks for Wildcat Plaza, which are great purchases for alums and class reunions. Bricks are just $35. To make a purchase, contact M Club President Scott Mitchell at 812-550-0153.
It's truck month at Expressway Jeep. We have a huge selection of fresh off-lease Ram trucks, like a 22 Ram Bighorn Night Edition 4x4, only $33,555, or a 22 Ram Bighorn 4x4 for only $34,775, or a 21 Ram Bighorn Night Edition 4x4, only $33,675. Big selection, all sale price, you will save thousands during truck month at Expressway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram in Mount Vernon, Indiana.
Excludes tax, title, and 245.com. Excludes previous offer. See dealer for details.
Are you ready to make your real estate dreams a reality? Then give us a call today at Team Milam of ERA First Advantage Realty. Our community and market knowledge and effective negotiation skills are what you need, whether you are buying that dream home or selling your existing property. Team Milam has been the number one realtor and team in Posey County for the last 15 years. See our listings online at teammilam.com or call 812-453-1068 to discuss your needs. Team Milam Real Estate, going that extra mile.
What do you expect when shopping for a power sports vehicle? How about a huge selection of in-stock units? Le Mans Motorsports has a showroom that's full. Honda, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki, and CF Moto. The Le Mans staff is friendly and they know their products. Le Mans Parts Department is full of in-stock parts and accessories with service second to none. Expect it all and get it all at Le Mans Motorsports, Route 45 in Fairfield, Illinois, just minutes off I-64, and servicing the tri-state since 1975.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Mount Vernon Basketball Coaches Show. I'm Alan Buck with Coach Joe Newcomb of the Mount Vernon Wildcats, and you're listening to 106.7 FM WMVI, MountVernonRadio.com. We're going to finish up the last couple of games, Mount Vernon versus Evansville Day School in the Carmine White County Invitational. It's a 10-point victory. Once again, you had four people in double figures. Stith, 28 points. He is a heck of a player.
But he's really good when you let him get going. I thought we were very poor in the first half in terms of what we were trying to do with him and make things difficult for him. And at one point he's got their first 17, I think.
Yeah.
Just really poor engagement on that in the first half. But a testament to the boys, I thought they accepted the challenge. And I thought we were really good on him the second half. Bryce was outstanding the second half on him, and I think that really jump-started him into Saturday defensively. I mean, Stith comes out and hits a tough mid-range game the third quarter, and then a three the next possession, and I'm like, man, we can't shut the water off, and he has four the rest of the night. So I thought Bryce did a really good job there the second half of shutting him down after he had 20 the first half. But to find a way to win after not playing very well that night, I think was a good thing. And I think then going into the Saturday game with Karma, I think it just we just rolled from the start.
Absolutely.
I thought we did an excellent job of executing our defensive game plan with Edwards, of having multiple bodies around him without fouling. You know, that was a huge key. Is he shoots 8 or 9 free throws a game. He averages 24. Last Friday he had 37. The kid can fill it up. You know,
15 points to tie or to break or tie the scoring record for career.
Yeah,
and you held him to 2 free throws.
Yeah, we got word of that right before the game that he was just 15 points away. So that was a good challenge for our kids to see whether or not we could respond. And We absolutely did. Just a huge testament to the defensive effort from our boys.
Yeah, you know, it's a great, great strategy. You look at a 6'7" guy with extremely long arms and legs, and well, let's put a 6-foot guard on him.
Well,
but it was a guy named Clowers, yep, so he could do it.
He did a really good job.
When he got tired, Meyer Robb took over, did a great job too. When Edwards got the ball down low, Boozy was all over him. I mean, the guy had to think, you know, he's got these gnats all over him. It was just awful for him.
Yeah,
and you made him uncomfortable the whole game.
We put bodies in space, or bodies in his space, and I thought the kids did a good job of just being in his space and not reaching, not fouling, not bumping, not doing those things. And I think that was really important in terms of staying out of foul trouble and keeping him off the line. But I thought offensively we were really good that day. I thought we were extremely efficient. I thought we executed well in the half court, made them guard in space. I thought we shared the basketball really well. We had 18 assists on 22 made shots.
Wow.
Which is, that's who we have to be.
That's,
you know,
ridiculous.
It is
huge.
But I think, like, we have guards that can make plays, and we got to be playmakers for others. And I think that was a really telltale stat for the kids tonight when we talked about it, is continue to create, but create for others. And if you create for others, we have really good inside-out jump shooting guys.
Yes.
We have okay guys that can make three. We have guys that shoot the basketball just okay when they're trying to do it on their own.
Mm-hmm.
But when we share the basketball and play inside out, we got guys that can make shots, and we got to continue to do that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, 3-1 on the week, terrific week, and really nice. I mean, Carmi, we've kind of had our troubles with the Carmi over the years, and this time, 52-21, that was huge. And
sure.
keeping Edwards, the broadcaster, Cole Carter, broadcast, he was sick and wasn't going to be able to be there. He was kind of joking. He said, well, gee, I hope he doesn't break the record tonight so I get to call it.
Yep.
And I sent him a message after the game. We held him to 240,
yeah.
So that made him feel better. But this week, we're going to North Posey on Wednesday. That's the snowed out game. We're going to play them. Anything special?
No, it's obviously always tough playing North Posey. You know, excited for the opportunity to go up there and try to get one. You know, I thought we did a good job on Schmidt last time, and the role players hurt us. And a ball game that comes down to the last play of the game that Compton slips off a ball screen and gets us. So I know it's fresh in our kids' minds. I think they're really excited to get the second chance. You know, when it gets snowed out, you don't know if you're going to get another chance. And
I think they're glad that
we do. And we'll have our work cut out. You know, it's going to be a hard-fought, tight ball game, and we got to make sure that we've learned from some of the close games we've had to this point in terms of what we have to do down the stretch to find a way to win. So excited for the opportunity, and hopefully we can go up there and play well.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before off the air. We need 32 minutes.
Absolutely.
This is one of those games, 28 minutes won't do it.
No, it's just going to be a 32-minute battle, you know, and that's the fun part of playing these guys. Both teams know the same thing.
Sure.
We know each other really well, and Coach Seymour does a good job. So it'll be a hard-fought contest, and we'll see if we can make the plays down the stretch.
And then you'll get a little bit of breather Thursday, and we'll turn around. We bring Tell City to town on Friday.
We do, for homecoming Friday night. Tell City, who they just went on the road, went and watched them last week, went on the road and beat South Spencer, and then South Spencer turns around and beats North Posey then 3 or 4 days later. So a Tell City team that is playing really good basketball with a new coach, lots of 3- and 4-year players who have taken their lumps over the years, and they've been extremely competitive over the last month. The Missouri kid can really shoot it. They've got some guards who've got some length. We'll have to play well, you know, and as you look at the schedule, there's no easy night. You know, I think that's the good thing about our league, good and bad thing about our league, is you have a chance every night to win, but if you don't show up, you're going to get beat. And we got to be ready to go. It's a huge week for us, and hopefully we can keep some positive mojo going and find a way to win Wednesday and then be ready to go again on Friday.
Absolutely. And record right now is?
We're 8-7 right now, and hopefully we can keep on going.
I was going to say it, and I thought, you know, if I'm a game off, that's going to sound really bad. So I figured I'd let you say it. But, yeah, it's terrific. And we had, again, really great week last week. It was a lot of fun watching this team develop and the personalities come out and the way that different roles have taken on. And, you know, the couple of the games, everybody you brought off the bench contributed what you needed and more from them. And that was a fun thing to see.
I think this group just likes each other. You know, I got a text the other night, and just 7 or 8, 9 of them are hanging out after the game Saturday. You know, and It's one thing to be buddies on the court. It's another to be buddies on and off the court. And I think when you really care about each other off the court, it shows that on the court.
It sure does.
And they're really good buddies. They want to be successful as a team. They put personal agendas aside to try to help one another to achieve success on the court. And hopefully we can keep putting them in a position to do so, because mm-hmm. They're a joy to coach and they work hard. And it's a blessing to get to do this every day with them.
So all you can ask for out of them is hard work. And, you know, five guys are a lot harder to beat than one. So you've got a good team's concept going there. They are fun to watch. They're fun to broadcast, I tell you.
We appreciate it.
So we will see you all Wednesday up at Poseyville. And hope all the fans can get up there and travel well. It's not that far.
That's
and
right.
Then Friday, homecoming. Make the gym noisy, and let's make Tell City uncomfortable, and we'll see what we can do.
That's right. We appreciate it.
With that, thanks for your time, and I will say good night to all good sports.
You've been listening to Mount Vernon Wildcats basketball on 106.7 WMVI and MountVernonRadio.com. This broadcast has been brought to you by the Posey County Co-op, United Fidelity Bank, Auto Car Trader, Crane Credit Union, Expressway Chevrolet, Bud's Hardware, DiMaggio's Pizza, the Mount Vernon M Club, Expressway Jeep, and Team Milan Real Estate. Stay up to date with Mount Vernon Sports on your home of the Wildcats, 106.7 WMVI.